goals for the premiums that we're offering, the video and the book. But anybody who pledges any amount will get a signed copy of the new issue of 2600, the brand new issue, which nobody has yet. Actually, Jello Biafra has a copy, and he's somewhere in Illinois right now. That's the only copy that I've given out. So, it's really too bad that you guys weren't here at the same time. He was in such a rush, but we spent some time hanging out and talking about old times and things like that. And it was just, it's really cool. He really gets the message. He really sends the message out there. And we're all fighting the same fight. You know, it feels like we're all, you know, getting it and speaking out about the same things and keeping a watchful eye on the developments of the world and how it's something that, you know, is really troublesome and worrisome. 212-209-2950. Again, anybody who calls in will get a signed copy of the new issue of 2600 with the special cover having to do with the TIPS program. I'm not going to say any more than that, except that it's really kind of cool.
I love the cover.
It's a great cover. It's great. I really like this one.
By the way, Emmanuel, do you know of any Free Kevin stickers in New York City that are still left hiding in various places?
That's a good question.
Is there a couple in L.A. we know of that are there?
The Indy Media Center, I know we have a bunch of them up there. As far as outside, you know something, Jeff?
There's one in my classroom.
In your classroom?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think they want us to look at it tonight.
Well, there's one outside Fry's Electronics in Los Angeles. It's sitting on the back of a stop sign. It's been there since...
Oh, if you come out to Long Island, there's a whole lot on stop signs and you know, outside police stations and things like that. For some reason, they're the safest place to put stickers
Alex,
up.
Alex does me a favor once in a while. He'll check my email. Some guy in Michigan had obtained a personalized license plate that was KVN MTNK, and he sent it that, you know, that was a tribute to me, Kevin Mitnick license plate in Michigan. That was pretty interesting.
The best one was one that accidentally somehow magically appeared on the back of a cop car at a donut shop. I don't know how that happened, but they drove off and
or at 11,000 Wilshire at the Federal Building.
Yes,
right?
Amazing.
Well, those stickers are durable too. They'll stay up for 10 years.
Amazing.
They will.
Amazing.
Did you know what happened is when you guys were out there at the Metropolitan Detention Center in Los Angeles.
This is in the film.
In the film. Right,
in the film.
We were waving to you.
Waving to me.
And you were knocking on the window with what?
It was actually some guy had this hair gel that I guess you can buy at commissary. So it was like in a plastic container. So I knocked using that device.
And we heard that across the street. We were trying to find what window it was
in. Too bad you guys didn't know Morse code, right? Anyway.
Oh, you were saying something in Morse code?
Yeah, I was trying to.
Oh, wow.
I was there, too, and I didn't.
But it was kind of hard because you can't distinguish a dash from a dot, right? And plus, I didn't
know... Yeah, how do you do that, tapping on a window?
It was difficult.
I've only seen it in movies.
Pause. Yeah, but you guys didn't pick up on it, but that's okay.
Well, we picked up on the fact that you were
tapping. I did do SOS. But you guys didn't pick up on it.
So what didn't we know?
Inside the prison.
Oh, somebody decided to put a Free Kevin sticker on the front door of the MDC.
How would that happen?
I don't know how that happened. It's amazing. But about 8 o'clock that night, my cell gets stormed by these lieutenants. And they're all, you know, very angry, asking, how in the heck...
This is a radio. That's exactly the language they use.
I'm paraphrasing.
Gosh, Kevin,
how did you get this Free Kevin bumper sticker on our front door window? You know, they were accusing me of, like, did you break out and do it? I said, how in the heck did I know? I've been here under your guys' control. How do I know how a sticker gets placed on your window? Anyway, they were all up in arms. At the end of the day, the lieutenant that was all upset about it. They took it off and he put it on his filing cabinet downstairs. So they have a Free Kevin bumper sticker in the prison.
So do you think it's still there to this day?
Probably. I don't know.
Wow.
It's amazing where those things. I mean, you have this amazing ability, Emmanuel, to just inspire people to do things.
Interesting, Alex. You should actually be able to fill in some details for us here because, as we know, you were helping the Miramax people with the film in North Carolina.
Yes, I was there.
Now, you know the part of the film where we see the truck with the Free Kevin sticker. In the earlier part of the film, you say, I'm going to give them to the Miramax people. Right. They're going to stick them on their cars. Later on, we made it to North Carolina where they were filming Takedown, the film about Kevin's life.
What?
Well, supposedly.
No.
I put that in quotes. Okay, I guess you didn't see the quotes over the radio.
Exactly.
We saw a truck with a Free Kevin sticker on it, and that's how we found where they were staying, where the actors and producers and all that were staying. And you've seen that part of the film.
Oh, yes, I have my methods, you see. When I was there, what happened was I found out through you or through someone else that this movie was being produced in North or South Carolina.
North Carolina.
North Carolina. And I I made some phone calls and found the production company, called up the producer, made friends with him, all using wonderful social engineering techniques, and basically told him that I have all this fantastic information, and how can I help you? What can I do to help you? Mm-hmm. And they were able to pull me down to the set, and I went and met the director and made sure that, one, that the script was not as defamatory as they initially had it, pointed out things, talked to Kevin on the phone, because initially they had him beating someone up in an alley,
yeah,
all sorts of stuff, and so it was just trying to get them to realize that Kevin isn't, you know, not this horrible
guy.
Or that
first script where they were started off playing a pinball machine when I was a kid. It was absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, cheating right. at it. As a kid, you were a cheat. You know, it was horrible things that they were doing. Man.
So on the set, I made friends with everyone and basically tried to spread the love mm-hmm. that you'd started in this little campaign. And I passed out stickers. I even gave a sticker to Shimomura.
Shimomura.
And everyone kind of laughed because I did it in such a way that much of the crew saw it. And they were like, well, what did he say? What did he do? Oh, thank you very much. And he took it and put it away.
Sure, he did put it on his car.
but many of the crew, they loved the stickers. They put them on their cars, on the trailers, because they thought Kevin was a cool guy.
So whose car was it that sticker was on?
I think that was the head of the art department.
That was what?
Head of the art department.
Head of the art department. So yeah. We were chasing that person all throughout North Carolina.
Yeah, but I think they were a little freaked out.
They were certainly freaked out.
Yeah, they thought you guys were going to come down with bats or guns. They really didn't know what to expect.
We're from New York. We don't use those methods.
Yeah.
Well, it was fun. It made for a good ending to the film, I'll say that. Our film, not theirs.
My girlfriend and I, we showed up at Loveline last week because...
You're kidding.
Well,
you're on Loveline?
No, I wasn't on Loveline. My girlfriend's. I was at the studio. My girlfriend's. She's friends with Dr. Drew.
Okay.
So we went there to watch the show, and I was kind of bored. You know, they're interviewing some actor guy, and I'm not really listening to the interview. We're behind the glass, and then when they're going to commercial break, they said, "Oh, we'll be right back with Donald Logue right after this." And I go, "Donald Logue? That name sounds familiar." So I go at the break. He comes out, mm-hmm. and that's the guy that was playing Louis DePayne in Takedown.
And so, he was the only good actor in
there. He was the only good actor in there. So I go up to him. I go, "Hey, did you play in a movie called Takedown?" He goes, "Oh, yeah." He goes, "About the Mitnick guy." And I go, "Yeah, that was an interesting show." And I go, "Nice to meet you. I'm Kevin Mitnick." And he's just seen his mouth drop. You know, it's like, what? So immediately I called Alex because, Alex, you were given a cameo role.
He was the coolest guy on the set. Mm-hmm. And we had a cameo role together. So Donald.
He's in the program called Grounded for Life, right? The TV program. Yeah.
He also played the taxi guy on MTV, the taxi cab driver.
Yeah, so that wasn't that ironic?
It was pretty ironic, yeah.
He understood it. He was the only guy that didn't freak out, because another thing to consider is as soon as I walked on the set, everyone thought, oh, there's a hacker. And all these jokes were going around, like, I hacked into someone else's computer, mm-hmm. like wildfire. And people were like, every time I walked in, they'd like cover their stuff up or close their doors or lock them and started really freaking out. It was not comfortable to be in. And this guy was the only guy who we actually sat down, had some lunch. I explained that it's not like that. Mm-hmm. It's something that's interesting. We just like to find out how things work.
Yeah,
and that's it.
It's hard to get that through to people. I mean, we had such a time trying to get a hold of them. To this day, they never even called us back. Yeah. They were just completely flipped out and paranoid that hackers were targeting them. We only had, you know, a couple dozen people outside their offices in New York.
Right.
But and to their credit, that was enough to get them to change the script. But they were really afraid in a bad way, I think. And
Skeet Ulrich was actually afraid. I have a friend in Los Angeles that bumped into Skeet mm-hmm. and mentioned that he was a friend of mine. And Skeet said, "Oh yeah, that guy Kevin Mitnick, that guy hates me. He was trying to cause all this trouble for me with Miramax
from prison, huh? Yeah, you know, trying to cause all this trouble.
Yeah, like I had nothing against the actor.
No,
I mean he was just cast for a role.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting that he actually had." He actually has the belief that I have something against him personally.
Well, there was one person with a sign that says Skeet's a scab.
I remember that.
But I don't think that was meant in a particularly malevolent way.
But, Emmanuel, if it hadn't been for you and the Free Kevin movement and all of your readers, I mean, this wouldn't have happened. We probably would have a very defamatory movie out there and no one would know what's going on.
The movie never actually came out in this country, did it?
No, well, actually, I settled a case with Miramax when I was in custody in November of 98. And they did some massive script changes, mm-hmm. but they didn't correct the script. Still, the script.
I think someone just took a picture.
Yes, they did. they probably sounded over the air. But anyway, the Takedown, the movie, really cast me in a false light. That's definitely not my personality.
Right.
The things they have me doing in the movie never really occurred. And it's based on the libelous book that Markoff wrote.
If you do get to see the movie, it's so much better than originally what the script was.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
so
with that,
you can imagine how bad it was.
Yeah, and if you hadn't gotten the word out, I'm sure that people that would have seen this movie, people that go to a theater and watch a movie about a particular individual's life actually believe that is what had occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been scary to me to think that the mainstream, you know, populace out there believes that this is the real life story of Kevin Mitnick. So I'm glad that it was never released in the United States. And mm-hmm. it was released in France.
Yeah.
And in fact, I got duped myself, social engineered, is back when I originally was released, Jack Biello, who was my publicist at the time, made an agreement with some French media to come over to the United States and interview me based on the movie and based on my past. And that interview ended up being tacked on the DVD
right.
that they're selling the movie on. Like the real movie with, you know, first it shows the Takedown movie, then it's a real interview with me.
So it seems like you endorse
like
the
I'm
film.
Like I'm endorsing the mm-hmm. film, which, you know, I was totally, I think you're the one that told me about
it. I had to break that to you, yes.
Yeah, I was.
Because I have the region-free DVD player. So
unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, people can get the film if they really have a morbid interest in how bad it was I guess, going to some foreign Amazon site or something like that, maybe. Yeah. There's actually something really cool a couple of weeks ago. There's a video store here in New York, Kim's Video. They sell quite openly, region-free DVD players or DVD players that can be adjusted to become, I guess, region-selectable or region-free, I'm not sure which. And then they sell films that are different regions, so you can actually see how much you're missing by going there and seeing all the different films that...
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's the only time I've seen that openly done. I've seen it in every other country, but never here. And it's good to see someone actually has the guts to do that.
Well, actually, Alex and I are going into filmmaking at our company, Defensive Thinking. What mm-hmm. we've done is we've taken the concepts in The Art of Deception in mm-hmm. the book, and we've developed a screenplay. We found a couple of really good writers, and we worked with them for a couple of months and developed the screenplay where we're going to come out with a training video that actually shows on the big screen of how social engineering works. And that's going to be really fun
yeah.
because it's going to be like doing, it's going to be like the movie The Sting, but really for companies. And then I'm going to be actually in the film, not as an actor
uh-huh.
Because, you know, I don't have that much experience.
As a victim
one cameo
of
role, right? And
well, you were an alias. You showed
up cameo role, right?
But you were good.
Five lines.
You played a hacker.
Yeah, I did.
In fact, it was credited
CIA
that
agent.
Way. It was credited as hacker. In
that
the
was a
credits.
Mistake because actually I was cast as a CIA agent Burnett.
Oh.
And somehow it got changed to hacker. I mean, I could never live that down, right? My first name is Notorious.
Uh-huh.
It's from Kevin. It's been changed to Notorious Hacker instead of Kevin
That's
Mitnick.
Right. You're Notorious Kevin.
So anyway, I'm gonna be narrating the training film, but it's kind of exciting because I've never been involved in filmmaking, and now I respect all the hard work that you had to do to actually develop Freedom Downtime, which I think is a great film. It's
yeah.
a great documentary. Didn't you win some awards?
We won the Listener Appreciation Award at the New York City Independent Film and Video International Film Festival or something crazy like that. I don't know what exactly
it
was.
Viewers at that festival.
Is it what?
Viewers, not rather than listeners.
Did I say listeners?
Yeah.
Oh.
But we have listeners.
We are on the radio.
Okay, but hopefully they were listening too. But yeah, viewers, you're right. Yeah. But we got an award for that, as far as I know. And the biggest award to us is just people saying that they showed it to a relative or a friend of theirs that knows nothing about computers and they were interested in it.
You know, my grandmother gets stopped all the time. What's free, Kevin?
Speaking of inspiration, your grandmother is one of the most inspirational people I have ever met. And that's, I'm not exaggerating when I say that. And a lot of other people have told me the same thing. She is somebody who is a perfect example, someone who gets it, somebody who has a full appreciation of what is right and what is wrong and was very good in sticking up for you.
Well, I've been very fortunate. My mother and grandmother have yes. supported me. Through this whole ordeal, and they've stood by me, and they're just the greatest. I'm really lucky.
Yeah, you certainly are. You certainly are.
Yeah, I hope people. I hope at least we get some more callers that would like to get a copy of Freedom Downtime because I think it's I think it's an excellent piece of work.
How can they get a copy?
Wait, you said you want to get a copy? You
no,
have a,
I hope that some listeners
hope they get
call.
A copy. Yeah, I gave you a copy. Okay. Yeah, the phone calls have dropped off to nothing. So let's have one more rally. Actually, maybe somebody from Tally can tell us if we're out of the books. If we're out of the books, obviously. We won't. The number's going way up there. We're up around the $2,000 level. I think we're still having numbers added up. Hopefully, 212-209-2950 is the phone number. Call up to make a pledge to the radio station. Probably the best thing to do is to call up, make that pledge, and find out what's available because it's possible we might not have any of the books anymore. If that's the case, well, it's too bad, but there's also all kinds of other things, including the video, and every pledge will get a copy of you want to donate those?
I have five more.
You have five more books?
Yeah, so if you... These are my five
those are only
personal...
I have one right here
I've opened.
He's reading.
Well,
I'm reading the book.
Okay, great. So Kevin has just donated five more books. So for Tally people like out down there, and I guess that means five more listeners can call in and pledge 125 and get both the video and the book. So we have five more books, and they'll be signed by Kevin Mitnick and possibly me as well. 212-209-2950, three calls on the line. Let's make that five, and then we'll take some phone calls on the listener line as well. And, of course, we have the Personal Computer Show, which is normally on at this time, coming in, starting, kind of merging with us around 8:30 or so, and then at 9 o'clock they'll be taking over, and Kevin's going to stay on with them for an hour. And we're just going to keep it going all night long. 212-209-2950. Let's bring in some more calls, and then we'll go to some listeners as well. And if you've made your pledge already, and let me specify that I really would like to hear from people who have made their pledges on the listener line, then you are clear to call 212-209-2900. Again, please make that pledge. It's very important, not just because you want a copy of the book or a copy of the video, because as Kevin has said, as Alex has said, as so many have said in these studios and on the phone lines over the years, without this place, we'd be looking at a very different scenario. And we are so lucky. In many ways, we are very lucky to have a radio station like this, to have something that can reach so many people. Right now, people are listening to this all around the world, and that's as a result of the hard work of Junce and his team of coders and streamers out there on the internet that get this show out to hundreds and hundreds of people worldwide who listen to it live. It's delayed about 30 seconds, I think, because of all the processing that goes on. But it's also stored in our archives, and people listen to it later and hear all kinds of things. It's there forever. You can listen to our first show back in 1988 as well on our website. It's a massive thing. We can reach a lot of people through communication, but imagine if this place did not exist. Imagine if BAI was taken over by a top 40 format or country and western or something else that Clear Channel wants to have. Believe me, they want this frequency. They want every frequency. They want to have complete control. It's a horrible thing. But we have our one voice here. We have WBAI, and that one voice is divided up into so many different opinions and viewpoints and listeners and communities. It's a marvelous thing to witness, and something I've witnessed here at this place for, since I first walked in the door in 1988. And I hope to be around for at least as long in the future, and hopefully many more people will join us and become part of it and share information as well. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. Make your pledge, support the radio station, and keep us going.
Hey, another thing that you might be interested in, Emmanuel, is on our... We set up a website at defensivethinking.com, and we've established a forum. We have we've set up some forum software, so people that are interested in sharing the social engineering techniques that they have used or that they have known to be used, they post this in this forum. So people that are interested in learning even techniques that I haven't exposed in the book or learning or wanting to know how all these worked so they can protect themselves could also go and sign up to be on the forum.
You can also enter things or questions into the forum. So you join the forum. We've got about 120 users already, but they can ask questions, they can make comments on the book, and share other ideas that they've had as far as different types of social engineering techniques, different policies. And Kevin, because we've set it up technically, Kevin can answer the questions without visiting the internet, because the server is sitting inside our office, and that way he doesn't have to...
Yeah, we just unplug the Cat5 cable,
and
then I can go ahead
and
answer the questions, and we plug it back in, and it's back on the internet.
The only place in the world you can ask Kevin a direct question.
That's...
The website is...
Well, and here, people can do that right now, in fact.
Yeah, they can call in.
All right, 212-209-2900 is our listener number. Thanks to the people currently on 212-209-2950. Please keep those calls coming in.
What is...
Jim, you got to be somewhere?
No,
Jim's driving.
You needed to be reminded of something.
I need to be reminded of something. Oh, that's right. It's time to put money in my car.
Feed the meter.
Who's going to go down to... I've got a bunch of quarters here.
Wall Street.
So someone has to volunteer to do this.
Well, let's see who could do it. Want to go down? Kevin, you want to go down?
No, Kevin, you can't go down. You can't go down.
I'm the guest on the show.
You're the guest.
So I'll give out the website again in case people out there are interested in joining our forum and learning more about social engineering techniques and sharing your information with us, and that's at www.defensivethinking.com. And if you're interested in emailing me directly, my email address is kmitnick@defensivethinking.com, and you're welcome to email any questions. But understand there's a turnaround time because I'm not allowed to use the internet. I depend on my colleague Alex and my friends to help me get that email and also help me so I could respond to it without using the
internet.
But
you read them all, right? You read them all, so everything you send will be read.
Even the spam.
Right.
You read the spam.
And in 3 months, I'll be able to use email.
That's right. That's right.
Emmanuel, by the way, just as long as I'm thinking about this, you'll love this idea. In Los Angeles, the new parking meters can tell when you drive away. So if you put 2 hours in your parking meter and stay there for 30 minutes and move your car, the parking meter resets.
Well, isn't that theft? I mean, taking the money that you put in there and not applying it to anything.
I thought
you'd
like
the city of Los Angeles.
What if you looked at your parking and you weren't satisfied with it and you wanted to pull out and do a better job of it?
It resets.
It resets. I don't believe that.
In New York, that's how we flush toilets.
Sorry.
Do you guys have red light cameras here?
Yeah. In New York, that's how we flush toilets.
Yeah.
I have a question about those parking meters. What if you park, say, 8 inches from the curb and put in cinder blocks where your tires are or where your
There's some sort of an infrared sensor that detects something in, like, its little field of vision. And then when you move the car, it sees that, you know, the block or the block.
Well, okay, you have a large piece of cardboard that you've taken from the homeless man that you mugged.
There's always a way. As Emmanuel knows, there's always a way.
Let me, before we go to the phones, just read off a quote from the book. To inspire people to call in and pledge to receive the book, assuming there is any copies left, or just to pledge in general. And this is pretty much the theme from The Art of Deception, Kevin Mitnick's new book. A company may have purchased the best security technologies that money can buy, trained their people so well that they lock up all their secrets before going home at night, and hired building guards from the best security firm in the business. That company is still totally vulnerable.
Right. And there's an interesting, I don't know if you know this, I used to work as a private investigator for a couple of years, and this was in the early 1990s. And what my job was trying to find out where people were hiding. It was called, in the business they call it locates, and also trying to find out where people have stashed their money. Because our clients for the PI company was mostly attorneys that wanted to sue people on some other party's behalf, and they wanted to see if they were judgment proof, to see where their money was and how much they had. Well, in the book, I disclose a technique of how PIs would get your personal banking information and see banks, how they verify that you're indeed an employee. Like, for instance, if there's some interbank communication from one branch to another, how they verify is they have a thing called the code for the day.
Oh, yes.
And every day when they boot up their computers, a teller could look up the code, and that's how they verify. It's what we call a shared secret. And there's a technique in my book that describes how you can trick a bank employee into divulging that shared secret.
It's called the reverse sting.
I think there were 5 secrets that the bank had, and you were able to get something like 3 of them out of the bank.
Out of one call.
Right.
Correct. Bank of America has 5 codes of the day, A, B, C, D, and E, and this was a technique where you can, it depended on the gullibility of the person, but you could at least get 2 out of 5.
The beauty is that, okay, one person doesn't fall for it, there's always another person that you can try.
And that's what's so important in the protection program, because I really advocate setting up a security reporting hotline. So when an employee either realizes they have been victimized by a social engineering attack or there's a suspicious phone call, fax, or email, that they report to report this to a central point within the company, so the people in that department know how to appropriately respond, like advise other business units or departments, or do a company-wide alert to let everybody know that there's some sort of security incident in progress.
You got calls?
Yeah, we got calls. Again, 212-209-2950 is the pledge line. I missed it. I always like to see when we reach $2,600. We're already over 3,000. We're already over 3,000.
So these bank techniques are in The Art of Deception, the book, the techniques on how to get the code of the day, all 3 of them, you think, or all 5 of them?
Well, it's a story. It's actually, the story was somewhat fictional. You know, the story is fictionalized, but the techniques are real.
The techniques are real. So if you want to learn how to get the bank code for the day, it's in the book that you get with a pledge. So, and it's signed. How can you beat that?
212-209-2950. Also, I want to point this out, too. I know I got a couple pieces of email from people that pledged during the last pledge drive that may not have gotten all their premiums. If you're one of those people, what I want you to do is call us at the 2600 office and leave us your phone number, and we'll work everything out if there is any kind of problems. I know that always happens at some point. There's paperwork that doesn't get passed along. Right. So if you're one of those people that's grumbling right now saying, I pledged last time, I didn't get what I pledged for, we never let that go. We never, we can't sleep at night if we know there's somebody out there who didn't get what they pledged for. Our number is 631, area code 631-474-2677.
That's for 2600.
That's for 2600. Just leave us a voicemail there and, excuse me, just leave your phone number and we'll have somebody get back to you.
Because you love your listeners.
That's right.
So
we do.
Have we given out 25 books?
I mean, I think maybe somebody from Tally can let us know, maybe update us. Yeah. But let's take some phone calls on the listener line. 212-209-2900 now. We have Kevin Mitnick here in the studio. If you have a question for Kevin, he's here to answer it. So let's pick our first call. Let's go over here. And good evening. You're our first call.
Hey, Mr. Dialtone.
Well, we know what we can do with you.
I could whistle.
That'd be a warning.
I actually know one guy. We both know.
We can't say his name.
We can't say his name. We know one guy you can touch tone a number in front of, and you can do it quickly, and
why
he can tell you the
me?
Number.
Oh, I know people like that.
Oh, you do?
I know people like that. Yeah, no, that touch tone decoders in their heads.
This guy's amazing.
Yeah. Just might be the same person, but we'll talk about him afterwards. We have our first caller on the line. No, we don't. Okay. People are hanging up. I don't know why. Phone calls are also moving all around the place. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Eric.
Ah, who's this?
This is David.
David, how you doing?
I just finished getting the last book, and I wanted to say hi to Kevin because
I remember you, David.
Yeah,
last time we talked, I was on vacation.
Yeah.
That was sponsored vacation.
A couple of weeks at a time, and I remember the three-way I had with your lawyer at the time.
Do we have to talk about that over the air? Oh, no.
I don't know how that sounded.
Okay, David. Never mind. Continue with
I remember what it was about. Yeah. Well, hey, it's great to talk to you again, David, and I really hope you enjoy the book. I think it will be a real eye-opener.
I also wanted to talk quickly about the movie Takedown because I actually went over to Europe for work and picked up the DVD and have been screening it to like a number of people, and it's in some parts it's really quite funny.
Does the DVD have the extras with Kevin talking?
Oh, yeah, it has the interview at the end, which really makes it appear that Kevin is like
endorsing the film. Yeah, which is totally incorrect. And since this has been done in France, I really have no legal recourse.
David, when you saw the extras, did it look as if they had recut the interview and maybe made it look as if he's answering one question when he was answering another?
It wasn't the cleanest edits.
It was a real pain in the ass because you couldn't play the whole interview. You had to keep selecting.
So I had to keep going one after the other to hear it all.
Yeah,
and
a lot of effort.
And the sound was really wasn't really done well. But I have to say that the funniest part of the entire film had to be the first 5 minutes. Was the
with Icebreaker?
The
guy that played Justin Peterson.
Right. Everyone who watches it has said this most hilarious part, the first 5 minutes, when you meet him in the bar. And he starts reeling off all these really lame hacks, and then he just lets loose with the FBI thing about the telephone
SAS,
surveillance.
About SAS.
Yeah.
And it was just priceless.
And you know what? They stole that material right out of Lippman's book. And if it wasn't for Alex, he's the one that actually went to Wilmington and acted as a consultant because of the way they were painting me in this picture was just totally inaccurate, and I'll let you tell the story,
Alex. Yeah, because they paid me. It was very interesting. Because they paid me, that means that anything that I said that made it legally possible for them to steal it out of the book or something, that was their argument.
Oh, really?
Very weird. So I don't know what happened. You were more
Lippman actually ended up suing Miramax and Disney and came out with a really substantial settlement.
Yeah.
And basically what they did is they stole the material out of Lippman's book because they realized Markov's book was trash,
right,
which it was.
Yeah.
And they went with Lippman's and they violated his copyright.
Yeah, because they had his book on the set. They were, I mean, I saw them with the book in their hands, and I told Blatt to Littman, and I think he used it.
So. Yeah, he did. In fact, you're instrumental. Yeah.
A couple of things. First, a very solemn announcement I have to make, in that I've been told that there are no more books. All gone. All the books are gone.
Well, I guess I'll turn over these five to you now.
Well, we got a little signing party.
Okay. Oh, I got to sign them.
We'll be having a signing marathon later. So all the books are gone, but that doesn't mean you can't call and pledge. Yeah. We still have videos, and we still have copies of 2600 to anybody who does pledge. 212-209-2950. Just call up and ask what's available.
The tally people are very frazzled, very busy, but they like to be that way.
Yeah, that's their natural state, is being frazzled and busy.
Guys?
Go ahead.
One of the fantastic things in the film is how they cast the actor who played Shimomura.
Russell Wong?
You couldn't have somebody who was so physically diametrically opposed to the figure that is Shimomura. And then it's funny when you see there's some sort of a press conference,
right,
where Shimomura has a cameo where he's sitting with his arms crossed in the audience.
And Alex is in that shot, too.
I'm sitting next to him.
Yeah.
Right, and then you have, you know, Russell Wong up there playing Shimomura, and you see the two, like, for a split second at the same time on screen, and it's just ludicrous.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We're talking about the wrong film, because we're not giving away that film. We couldn't give away that film.
You wouldn't want it. You wouldn't want it even if we were.
That film was trash.
It was trashy, yes, and trash. But we do have Freedom Downtime, and that's something that I think you can learn a lot about the other film, because we were chasing the people who were making it. In fact, you were there, Alex, during the hurricane, right? Hurricane Bonnie.
Yes.
My ex-wife's name.
Yeah, that was something, wasn't it? That was pretty scary. So we were trying to talk to the people there about the film, and it's all documented, and you can get it for a pledge. 212-209-2950. Joe King from the Personal Computer Show is here.
Well,
how you doing?
It's been quite an evening for you guys. I see the tally has really gotten up there. Yeah. I thought you said you were going to raise $2,600.
Well, we did, but I missed it. We shot right past that, and now we're above 3,000. We want to bring it above 4,000 if possible. 212-209-2950.
You know, you said you were all out of books a moment ago. Mm-hmm. I couldn't help hearing that. And if folks call in and pledge, and then follow up their pledge by getting online and going to Amazon, they can get their book.
Well, they can do that too, sure.
Or, Kevin, you know, can also, but it won't make be a couple signed. Of bucks.
Yeah, don't forget, Kevin is having a book signing in New York City.
That's true, too.
On the 28th.
Yeah. You can get the exact date if you go to defensivethinking.com and click on the schedule.
Art of Deception.
Right.
Art of Deception. There's a schedule,
there'll be a
online
schedule
that tells you what bookstores and when it will be in New York City.
And we'll put it up on our website, too, at 2600.com. But the reason people are calling in to pledge is not so much just to get the book, because you can get the book, obviously. It's all over the place. It's to support the station and keep voices like Kevin's, you know, free so that they can speak on the air.
Yeah, and if anyone in New York City, I'm doing the book signing, I believe, at Barnes & Noble, mm-hmm. which I think, is that near your 2600 meeting?
I don't know. There's one on every block.
Oh, there's one in every block. It's like 7-Eleven in Los Angeles.
Starbucks, yeah.
But just because the books are going doesn't mean you shouldn't support the station.
Exactly.
No, the point I was making is, by all means, support the station so that we can have the voices of people like Kevin on the air, and then, because the book is worth reading, go out and get the book.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you asking as a pledge for the book?
The book is, well, actually, since we don't have them anymore, we were offering the book with the video for $125, but now we're offering the video for $75, and people can pledge whatever they want.
So now,
but the videos are signed.
If you pledge $100... and then go over to Barnes & Noble and get the book, you're at the same level, and BAI gets the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get there, tell Kevin you heard about the book on the air and you'd like him to make a signature on it for you.
Yeah.
And there's one other thing you can do that I just noticed over there is you have a galley copy of my book. Which
I'm not giving that up for anything.
Okay.
But don't forget also that
I hold on to these things.
The movies, Freedom Downtime, are signed by Kevin as well. Now, that's rare. I've never seen those before.
Yeah, well, we haven't done them yet.
That's right.
I'm kind of curious as what they're going to look like. Hey, we're going to move on to another phone call. Thanks.
Good talking to you, David.
Thanks, okay, cheers.
All right. Let's see who else is out there. And good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to mention two things to Kevin. One is about Homeland Security. Do you think that you can maybe hack computers so that you can, like, there was a case where a hacker was looking around a military satellite, and some actual terrorist wanted to pay this hacker to move a satellite. Do you think you can?
I never heard of that case.
What case is that? What are you?
I have no idea.
A case
what the
in his head.
You're citing a case you don't know.
No, I heard it at Hope. It was a video that I saw at Hope that happened, and I was wondering if you can set up a terrorist and catch a terrorist and win the $1 million for catching a terrorist or helping. you know, the nation on fighting terrorism.
It sounds like a big contest, doesn't it?
It's a little far-fetched. I mean,
a little far. What's your second question?
All right, my second question is that how do you tell a company that they have flaws? Like, I can bill calls to my cell phone. My cell phone number is supposed to be blocked. I mean, any cell phone number is supposed to be blocked for third number calls. But you could bill calls to your cell phone. And when I'm out traveling, like I'm out of state and I use my Sprint PCS phone, you know, I do an ANI readback, and it's not my cellular phone number, but it's the number of the cell site. Now, how is that possible and why? And can you, I can make international phone calls off that by just using AT&T.
So you're saying you can bill the cell site number when you make a phone call? It sounds kind of like a weird anomaly that it's just Sprint.
And usually it's a DID group, and you can't bill the DID. I mean, Alex used to be a TSPS operator.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably just they screwed up when they didn't block those particular numbers. I think you ran across a fluke.
What I did notice, though, is that most cellular companies, in fact, I think all cellular companies, you can't make collect calls to. Is that right?
Yeah, they can block it because they don't know how to bill it, and usually you can't do third-party or it's a class,
or collect.
A class 66.
They take collect calls on the Sopranos, though. They get collect calls on cell phones. I don't know how they do that.
And also what's unfortunate is on cell phones, you can't have anonymous call rejection. So what I do is I give out my home telephone number and then call forward so I could use the anonymous call rejection. But I think that's a service that these cellular companies should provide.
Definitely. 212-209-2950 is our pledge line, which is empty. Okay, one call in right now. That was fast. Let's get some more calls over there so we can bring that tally up a little bit more. It's a little lower than I'd like it to be. We still have videos, and we still have a signed copy of 2600 to anybody who calls in with a pledge, no matter what the amount. And there are other things, too, other generic BAI premiums. 212-209-2950. We're only here for another 20 minutes, and then Joe King and the personal computer people are going to take over. Kevin's going to stay around for another
hour. Kevin, if you stay around for a while, we'll continue to talk about these things and see how other aspects of it.
But sure, I'm happy to be here.
Are you allowed to talk on the personal computer show?
Well, you're not allowed to advise people on...
I'm not allowed to act as a consultant or advisor to anyone that uses a computer.
Really?
So does anyone use a computer here? No. So, but I'm allowed to do it with permission of the probation department. And fortunately, since I'm so close to getting off, they've allowed me to act as an advisor consultant in a number of regards.
Wow, that was fast. We broke the 4,000 barrier. How did we do that? We just raised $900 in like a minute.
I thought you want to hit 5,000.
Oh, did I say four? I meant five, yes.
Yeah.
2,000. 5 is a good number.
It's an even number.
I like 5,000.
I like 5,000.
Mike has names to thank.
We have a ton of people to thank, and we also have a ton of people who don't want their names read on the air.
Right, so read those ones
we'll
first.
Do those first.
Yeah. So if you're one of those people, we thank you. But Lewis Free. Only collectively. But specifically, we want to thank Mark from Milford, Connecticut. Jack from Manhattan. William from Marston's Mills, Massachusetts. I don't know where that is. Joseph from Brooklyn.
And you're from Massachusetts. You don't know where that is.
I never heard of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Raymond from Chatham, New Jersey. David from Queens, who says, "Hi, Kevin."
That's probably the same David from Queens that called and left another note over here.
Yeah. Albert from Jackson Heights.
There he is at the door, too.
Cheryl from Stockton, New Jersey. Ron from Garland, Texas.
Yay.
Texas.
That's the furthest one so far.
Well, we've got William from Omaha, Nebraska.
Is Nebraska further than Texas?
I don't know. But either way, we've got Ian from the UK.
All right, that wins. That wins. All right.
That's streaming.
Do you have a prize?
What part of the UK is that? It must be a city or...
Yeah, I guess.
One of those little county names.
I can't really... Can you parse this?
Peterborough.
Okay.
And we've got Crowley from New York. Omar from Bloomingburg, New York, I guess. Bloomberg is a city now.
Yeah, he didn't hear about this. He renamed the city Bloomberg.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bloomingburg. We've got Tim, who's from the Binghamton area, but doesn't want us to know more than that.
On that note, when I was watching Jello Biafra yesterday, he said that the dictator of Turkmenistan is something we might want to keep in mind here in New York. Actually renamed the days of the week and the months of the year after himself.
That's kind of weird.
That's kind of weird. If any listeners in Turkmenistan can let us know about that.
Just before, we've got Eric from Andover, New Jersey.
Okay.
And William, who doesn't want us to know where he's from, but it's not the tri-state area.
Okay, William. Well,
okay. William sounds very mysterious.
Even more.
Oh, and we have anonymous people from Atlanta, Georgia, Franklin, Michigan, Fort Myers, Florida.
Wow.
And another one from Omaha.
Cool. Two people from Omaha.
Do you have a meeting, a regular 2600 meeting in Omaha?
I believe we do. In fact, I can tell you that right now because we have a list of all the meetings right in the back of the magazine. And let's see what we have in Nebraska.
Meetings?
Yeah, we did. No, Nebraska. Except, oh, boy, you know, we forgot to print the state. according to this, Omaha is in Missouri. Oh, boy,
it
you
very
you
well
found
might be.
The one. Somehow you found the one typo on this
Nebraska,
whole page.
Nebraska is there.
It's oh, there it is. It's just, print. It's flushed over to the left and it's not bolded. Okay. I missed that one. All right. Yeah, Omaha is at the Oakview Mall, Barnes & Noble, 7 p.m., first Friday of every month. So okay. There you go.
So there you go.
Emmanuel, you know, one thing in the book that a lot of people are surprised at is we describe how caller ID can be forged on outbound calls.
Yeah, that is cool. And, we had a panel on that at H2K2,
right.
But the method described here is different. That method was mostly social engineering where you go to an operator and you get right. her to make a test call.
Oh, no. This is something much...
I actually figured it out about 6 months ago, 8 months ago?
Yeah, about 8 months ago. I really enjoyed when we used to call David Hall, the program director at KFI. This guy is very, very difficult to reach over the phone. Mm-hmm. I would think it'd be easier to call President Bush. No, so anyway, the way to call him was spoofing, call his cell phone, spoofing his home number.
Yeah.
Then he'd answer his call. but go on, Alex. I'm sorry for interrupting.
So is anyone familiar with how it's done? How to spoof? I can tell.
Well,
you
there are different ways. There are some ways, like you can use some cellular phone companies, and I know OmniPoint used to have this where. If you left somebody a message, mm-hmm. you could indicate the number that you were calling from. So when the person listened to the voicemail message, it would read out the number that the call came from as if you really called from that. And I call people from their home saying, oh, I'm standing here in your house right now. Where are you? And they, of course, freak out because they didn't know of any other way I could do that. Your way, though, is a little bit more sophisticated.
This way, actually, I mean, I can call anyone live, and the real number and name shows up on their caller ID display or on their cell phone. Mm-hmm. The way it's done is using what's called a primary rate interface, which is the ISDN interface to a PBX. It's a digital interface which controls each of the 23 DID lines into the switch. So on an outbound call, the phone company has to trust you because the phone company doesn't know of the many DID numbers you have which one is making the phone call.
Mm-hmm.
So it trusts in the setup information what number you're sending. I was reading the book. This is on a Nortel Option 11 series. I bet you I could change the number, and I did. But here's the most interesting part. You can send the outbound number, but the way caller ID name works is it actually queries a central database. So if you send any number, when it reaches the N central office, that N central office queries the database to see what number mm-hmm. has the name attached to it. So here's what you can use it for. If you can hack a switch and send out any number you want, the N central office will look up the real associated name with the number. So if you want to know whose name is associated with a number, even an unlisted one, you simply program in that number, call someone with caller ID and name, and it shows you the real listed name.
You don't even have to hack a switch. You just have to have control of a company PBX.
Well, hack. I mean, so I've used hack in the term that it was meant to be, just basically right. get into one that you have authorization
okay, no,
to get into.
Okay, that's a perfectly legitimate use of the word.
So
if you find yourself in charge of telecommunications at a company and you have a PBX at your disposal, you can actually do this. What confuses me, though, is why does the phone company – I can see them believing the extension – why believe the exchange as well? Why not say you can only be from the 209 exchange?
Well, the reason is twofold. One, it's difficult to verify. Don't forget that with SS7 and all the various telephone companies in the world, they trust the incoming messages. They trust it, and it's not the job of the company that's routing the call initially to track that number, meaning I send a call out, it just passes it on. And it's the end company that looks at the number, and they have to trust it because they don't know.
And another reason for that is, to say you're a large company and you have offices geographically located throughout the United States.
You've got a call center.
And you have a call center, and every time a call is placed from an employee of that company, you want the main telephone number, say in New York, to show up on the caller ID. That's why mm-hmm. they don't restrict it to area code and prefix. Yeah. They're supposed to do a validation check against the DID group, but they don't do
it.
Yeah,
it's very difficult to do. But if you've got operators in Nebraska making calls for a company based in New York, you want to send the real number.
And how that applies to the book is these are advanced social engineering techniques, because if you know that the target mm-hmm. actually uses caller ID,
right.
then you can you can call that target being the phone company, being a utility company, being their bank, being another individual at a different location at the company, and they're going to believe you 100%.
Yeah, the moral of the story is don't trust caller ID. You can't trust it to make a real... It's just too easy to do, and we know that the LAPD uses it to trick people when they're looking...
when they're looking for fugitives.
So they use these methods themselves.
Oh, yeah, law enforcement.
This is done in Load 15 in a Northern Telecom switch. Anyone who has a Nortel, which is the most deployed PBX in the world, can do this.
In fact,
it's very easy to do.
Sorry. In fact, I was this one gentleman in Las Vegas that I know offered a substantial sum if we can develop a box that would hook directly up into an ISDN to spoof caller ID, and who his customer was, his clients, were all federal law enforcement. So even federal law enforcement wanted to use this technique.
So the authorities are well aware of all the techniques used in your book. So by publishing this, you're not giving away the secrets. You're basically spreading the information to the general public so people can be aware and protected against this kind of thing.
Well, the message that I wanted to get out is that when you receive a call from a stranger, and even though on the caller ID it's representing to be coming from a particular company or person, you can't trust it. But what you can trust is ANI. Because ANI...
But how do you know if you're getting ANI or you're getting...
Well, that's an 800 toll-free.
800 is real. Right. Can't spoof that.
Can't spoof that.
But if you have a regular phone and you don't have an 800 number, you know.
Well, you can spoof it if you get into the switch and change the billing telephone number, but it's much more difficult. Mm-hmm. But with sophisticated social engineering, this is where spoofing caller ID, this is where finding out, predicting what number the target is going to call you back at, like you're lying that you're with another department within the company, and then getting into that company's PBX or getting into the phone company switch, and then call forwarding that person's number to like a prepaid cell phone.
Right.
Like in Los Angeles, you can buy prepaid cell phones at 7-Eleven for under $100. You could set it up under anonymous names because they don't check, and you have a legitimate callback number.
Yeah.
And what about companies that you can give a callback number and they'll just call you back? They won't even check that it's a valid callback number.
Yeah, that's...
That happens most of the time.
That's genius. Let's quickly go through some phone calls, and then hopefully we'll have enough time to conclude this before the personal computer show takes over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
I know you're an operator.
No, not you again. Not you again. Good evening. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, God bless you, gentlemen. It's a very interesting show, especially since I'm a beginner, or call me a dinosaur.
What's on your mind?
If I'm understanding right, use the term hacker. Is that someone who also, not meaning you gentlemen, because I didn't hear that, like, say, the spreading of a virus on a network?
That's a vandal. Hackers really explore and exploit technology to learn about the inner workings.
Yeah, usually because they love it. They love technology, and they hack away to figure out how it works.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
That's really what it's all about.
And circumventing computer security for the challenge and the intellectual pursuit, but not to destroy information or to profit.
Yeah, now, if you have a really bad system, somebody like that is a real threat to you because they're going to discover that you have a really bad system, and that's why all the animosity comes from. I'm convinced of that.
Was that security through obscurity?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Let's move through as many as we can. Good evening. You're in the air.
Hey, Kevin.
Hi.
Hey. Two questions for you. First one, what's the first thing you want to do when you get off parole there? And second is, can we see you at H2K4 or whatever?
Well, I plan to be there. In fact, Eric has invited me to speak. So
good.
I plan to do that. And when I get off supervised release, what do you mean? Like what the first site I want to go on the Internet or what I plan to do for a career? What get more specific.
What do you want to do on the Internet once you're actually able to touch computers again online?
The first site I'll probably go to is a www.labmistress.com, which is my girlfriend's website. Of course, I plug that. I'm sure she'll be happy. And I'm really interested in instant messaging technologies and using email because it's so ubiquitous these days, and it's really a tool to be used. And it'll just be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Speaking of things to do when you get out, well, I know one of our listeners wrote in inviting you to the as an official, but as one of the people attending to the Dayton Hamvention. I'm sure that's something you might be interested in.
Where is that?
It's in Dayton.
It's in Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio. Usually in May. And,
you know what?
50,000 people show up, it'd be great to have you there.
You know what I'd love to do is throw a big party once I get off supervised release. I don't know where to do it. I was Gary Kremen, who runs www.sex.com, offered to throw a party in Rancho Santa Fe.
Uh-huh.
And I'd love to throw some big party to invite all the supporters.
Yeah.
By the way,
we
never covered the FCC thing. You want
to? Yeah, quickly.
The FCC. What the FCC is doing is they agreed to go ahead and renew my amateur radio. They agreed to recommend to the judge that they allow my amateur radio license to be renewed. And now it's in the judge's hands to see if he's going to go ahead and do it, which is, you know, when both parties agree to a resolution, it's most likely going to happen. So I'm just waiting.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much a done deal.
That's good, though. I mean, it sounds like you made your case, and they heard you, and they realized that taking away your ham radio license would not be the right
thing
to do.
Well, he's like a celebrity. We walk into the courtroom, and everyone is all smiles. The judge was just like wanted to hear stories. And
you're kidding.
And the prosecutors were like, nice tie, that's great. It was just like a love fest.
Wow. They're very friendly in D.C. Remember how friendly they were when we hung out, you know, in the Senate chambers? Do you know we were hanging out in the Senate chambers with Lieberman?
I thought about it after. I was like, this guy's coming up to me, this Senator Lieberman. And I'm like, I mean, oh, yeah, so what?
This was before he was running for president.
Right, before he was VP.
Him and Thompson, those were the two people.
Yeah, that was a very interesting time.
Yeah.
And, the only downside of the ham radio thing is I spent over $15,000 in legal fees. Well, I actually owe. And I have the most expensive amateur radio license probably in existence. That's why I'm trying to auction off these laptops on eBay.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, interested in that, I guess I can still go to eBay.com and
and search for Mitnick.
Yeah,
and
there's a fake Mitnick there, right?
Yeah, somebody's putting up a fake seller purporting to be selling my laptops. And the real seller is TSS Tech Goddess that is selling the real Mitnick memorabilia.
So only buy from that
and
person.
And so you can see the pictures of your laptops with all the FBI fingerprint dust.
Oh, by the way, Steve Wozniak signed them.
Did he?
Yes. He and I hosted a show called The Screensavers, which ended up being a disaster. Because imagine this, I was very fortunate to get the opportunity to co-host with Woz a live television show.
On Tech TV.
I never read a teleprompter before, never did live television except looking in one camera.
Right.
Never had an IFB in your ear where somebody's talking to you and knowing what camera to look at. So, and I only had 20 minutes of rehearsal.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, the show was very, very rough.
I taped it. I haven't seen it yet. I'm looking forward to it now.
Yeah.
Let me make one last appeal to our listeners because the board is blank over there. 212-209-2950 is our pledge line. Please, this is your last chance to call in and get the videos that are signed by Kevin and myself for Freedom Downtime, the documentary of Kevin's horrible ordeal that he went through and how it finally ended. 212-209-2950, copy of Freedom Downtime for a pledge of $75. You can pledge any amount. Every amount is appreciated, and we will give you a signed copy of the new issue of 2600 with every pledge. Let's get a few phone calls on there. 212-209-2950. In our last couple of minutes, Kevin, I'd like you to tell us something about the missing chapter in this book. Now,
Which one are you talking about?
Well, I happened to read some of the galleys before it actually got printed.
And, oh, you're talking about the John Markoff.
There was the first chapter, I think it was the first chapter, was your story.
It was kind of the Kevin story.
It's not there anymore. So what in the world happened?
Well, my publisher decided to remove it from the book, and I can't really publicly discuss their rationale. But the main component of that chapter is telling my side of the story, what happened, how the myth of Kevin Mitnick was created by John Markoff by his false and defamatory reporting about me on the front page of the New York Times. I don't know if you recall this, but Markoff wrote in a story that I broke into NORAD, which I hadn't done, that I wiretapped the FBI, which I hadn't done, that I planted a false news story about Security Pacific Bank losing millions of dollars in an effort to get even with them, which I hadn't done, amongst many other unsourced and false allegations. And I explain the history of my dealings with Markoff about his original when his original attempt to contact me to help him on the Cyberpunk book because he wanted to write a story, a third of the book about me, the movie deal that ensued afterwards. And
there's a lot there. There's a lot of story that needs to be told.
I can't get into the details because I know we're running out of time. But to suffice it to say, I had my side of the story with, you know, kind of my side of the creation of the myth of Kevin Mitnick and what the reality was. And my publisher decided to go ahead and remove that against my wishes. Mm-hmm. I stand by what I included in that chapter, and I'm sorry that it wasn't printed. And then subsequently, after the publisher had decided to go ahead and remove it, then Markoff's attorneys submitted this 20-page brief threatening to sue my publisher unless that chapter was removed.
An expensive 20-page brief, too.
Yeah, so they weren't aware that it had already been removed, and they
no, and they went and they threatened, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So Markoff didn't want me to tell my side of the story.
Well, now we know that, but that side is going to come out some way.
Well, I understand it was in the galley copies that you actually saw at the 2600 magazine meeting, so it's only a matter of time before the information becomes free, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's certainly true. 212-209-2950 is our phone number for pledges, please. We have less than 3 minutes now for people to call in with that. Personal computer people are taking over in a couple of minutes, and they're going to have all different kinds of premiums, Joe. Is that right?
We will have different premiums, but we'll also have different questions for Kevin, because I understand you're going to stay with us for a little while.
Sure. I'm here and available.
We'll ask the non-hacker questions of the hacker.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have a whole bunch of premiums, and there'll be some of interest to everybody out there, I think.
Yeah, I do too. So if you want the video, you better call in now, 212-209-2950, and also copies of 2600 for anyone who calls in, regardless of the pledge level.
But support WBAI.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if we're on next week. You know, I forgot to check my mailbox.
We're off next week.
We're off next week. We're both off. Okay.
We're both off.
Which probably means we're both on. Because every time we say that, it winds up being the opposite.
Last week we were both on.
Yeah.
So I don't really
And then
know.
We think we're on, we're off.
But the theory is that we'll both be back on the 30th.
Okay. But I think the marathon is still going on the 30th.
But if it is, it's only until 6 o'clock.
Because oh, good.
After
okay.
6 o'clock is when we're on.
Yeah. Yeah. Extend the marathon.
Yeah, we can just do this forever. But I want to thank all the listeners. We're up to 4340, and we have four calls on the line, so we're going to hopefully
break the 5,000 mark.
Flirt with the 5,000 mark. I want to thank everybody for calling in. It means so much to us, and you're the reason why we keep this up, the listeners out there. And I'm glad, Kevin, you got to be here firsthand, you know, and see this place for what it is.
Yeah, it's been an awesome opportunity, and I'm really supportive of WBAI, and I think you're doing a great thing.
Thanks, and so are you. I'm glad to see the book and all the other things you're involved in. Hope to have you back here many, many times.
Oh, I plan to be here. I'll be here between October 27th and the 29th, so I don't know what days that falls in during the week, but maybe I can come back.
Definitely. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Stay tuned for the Personal Computer Show with Kevin Mitnick for the first hour, and we'll be back again in 2 weeks during a regular program here in WBAI New York. It's Manuel Goldstein. Have a good night.
The right to a home and homeland can